Let us go to God in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to believe that all things are possible. Lord, increase our faith. Let your Spirit, God, live inside of us that we can know you and grow closer to you every single day. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I knew a pastor who died a few years ago. He was in his 80s, and he knew Jesus. He preached the word. And yet on his deathbed, he said to his wife, "I sure hope all those things I've been preaching all these years are true." Now, you know, you may have felt that way too. And sometimes we doubt a lot of things. And you may have times in your life when you don't know if your prayers are being answered. You don't know if something's going to happen. You doubt this, you doubt that. And that's our human nature. Nicodemus had that situation. The Bible says he came to Jesus one night. Now, he came at night because he didn't want the people to see him. You see, Nicodemus was a religious leader of the Jews. He was on the Sanhedrin, one of the 70 most powerful religious men in all of Judaism. He was a teacher of the Jews. And he came to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, we know that God is with you. Because you couldn't do these things that you do unless God was with you." So he knew that Jesus was with God and God was with Jesus, but he really didn't know who Jesus was. And Jesus responds to him and says, "Nicodemus, in order to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again." Now, it's kind of interesting there because in Greek, that word "see" means in order to perceive, in order to understand. Nicodemus, in order to understand the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again. And the word "again" there also has a double meaning. It means to be born from above. In order to understand the kingdom of God, you've got to be born from above. You've got to have the Spirit of God in you. Nicodemus didn't understand. Even though he was a religious leader, he did not understand. And Jesus says, "I marvel, Nicodemus, you who are a teacher of the Jews, you've read the Bible, the Old Testament. You know what it talks about. It talks about me, and yet you do not understand." He says, "You must be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit of God." We all need to be born of the Spirit of God. You see, all of us are somewhere in a continuum in a relationship with God. There are the people who are fighting God. Satan is fighting God. And there are people who are angry at God and are against him. And there's those who worship other gods and they're held captive by the devil. And then there's those who have never heard the gospel. And then there's those who have heard and nothing much happens. And then there's those who have heard and they're very religious, like Nicodemus, and they know a whole lot about the Bible, but it's not in their heart. They have not been born again. And Jesus said, "Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many there are that go therein. But narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. Then there's those who have been born again, babies in Christ. You know, and they may sometimes doubt their salvation. They may sometimes wonder if things are true, but they've been born again because they have believed in Jesus. And then there's those that as we go through life, and this is what God wants all of our church to go through. He wants us that have been born again to continue to grow closer and closer and closer to Him all through life. So that just like Eleanor, when she passed away, she said, I'm looking forward to this. That's where He wants us to come to. The Apostle Paul said it. He said to be present in the body is to be absent from the Lord, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul was looking forward to his home going. I mean, wow, when we get close to Jesus, all of a sudden it's not just something out there. It's the reality of what's really happening and what this life is all about. I received an email from a friend of mine this week. He is a manager of a Christian radio station out east. Actually, he used to be a manager of a Christian radio station in Waco, Texas, and I worked with him for 15 years. And he used to put on special programs, gospel programs with special singers. And he wrote me this email, and I want to read it to you. And he says, as you may know, New England is the least evangelized area in our nation, with less than 30% of the population claiming faith in Christ or an affiliation with a Christian church. It is difficult to believe that America has strayed so far from our early years, where cities like Boston were flaming with the gospel of Jesus. But now our community is filled with atheists and unbelievers. Many of the higher institutions of learning in this region, like Harvard, were founded by men and women of faith. Recently, we invited a Christian artist to perform at an event we were sponsoring. In sharing her testimony, I was amazed to hear this Bostonian tell how she had never heard the salvation story until a young woman from the South shared it with her while she played the piano in a Boston restaurant. To think that a 30-year-old American woman raised in one of our leading cities had not heard even a whisper of the gospel until the Lord sent her a personal ambassador was astonishing for me to believe. As I listened to her testimony, I thought to myself, how could this be in a land filled with a million churches, thousands of Christian radio and television stations, and the good news of Jesus proclaimed day and night on the waves of the internet? And yet this woman never heard the gospel until she was 30 years old and she lived here in America. I had a shocking experience like that when I was a chaplain at Waco Center. 16-year-old boy came into our center. He was on the locked cottage. He'd been there 3 weeks. We had chapel services on this cottage every week, and he came to them. And the third time he came, he raised his hand during our chapel service. And I called on him, and he says, I don't mean to sound stupid or nothing, but who is Jesus? And I thought, wow, a 16-year-old boy never didn't know Jesus, didn't even know who he was. What about Christmas? He should have at least known the story, and he had no idea. Now that's sad. But do you want to know what's even sadder? It's sadder when we have people in America in churches, church members, that may come to church every Sunday and know all about Jesus, but not know him personally. That's where Jesus wants to bring us to. He wants to bring us to a personal relationship with him. That's what life is all about. Believing in Jesus, being born again, is not head knowledge. Satan believes in Jesus. He knows who Jesus is. Satan's not saved. There are people who have a head knowledge of God and not a heart knowledge. God wants us all to come to know him personally, to have a personal relationship with him. So, how do we do it? Jesus said in the Bible, in Revelation, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He says, "If anyone hears my voice and asks me in, I will come in to him and eat with him," or dine with him, "be with him and he with me." When we come to church and we hear the gospel message, Jesus is knocking on our heart's door. Reminds me of the story of the little boy that was in the nurse's office. And she was listening to his heart. He's wondering what she's doing, so she puts the stethoscope on his ears and he listens to his heart. And she says, "What do you hear?" There was a surprise on his face. And he says, "Is that Jesus knocking on my heart's door?" That little kid knew Jesus. We have little children here in this church that come up here for our children's sermon that are born again. These little children don't have just a head knowledge of him. They have a heart knowledge of Jesus. You can hear them pray. They couldn't do that if they didn't have a heart knowledge of Jesus. There are some people who Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The Spirit is sovereign. The Spirit goes and you don't... You can hear it, but you don't know where it is." There are some people that grow up from their very infancy filled with the Spirit of God. Why is that possible? It may be possible because their parents knew the Lord. Probably what it is. And the prayers that their parents had. Some parents bring their children to baptism. And the Lord touches them at the time of baptism when they're giving their child to God. God touches hearts. But then there are people that for some reason they have not been born again, and at some point in their life they have to accept and come to a realization of who Jesus is and want him to be Lord of their life. And it's as easy as this. We have got to desire it, to want it. In our video on Wednesday night, there was a reenactment of a time when the Israeli soldiers were walking across this minefield and they realized it was a minefield and they didn't know what to do. They're trapped. They can't go forward because they might step on a mine. They can't go backwards because there's mines there too. So they get down on their knees and they start to scrape away dirt trying to find mines, and they thought this will take forever. And all of a sudden, on a clear night, a windstorm comes up for 20 minutes actually. And in that time, it exposed, blew the dirt and the sand off those mines and exposed every mine. And 20 minutes later, it stopped. And they got up and they could see every mine and walked across that field. And when the reporter was asking the commander who was there, he says, "Do you be?" He says, what do you want us to take away from this? Was this a miracle of God or was it just a fluke of nature?" And this commander says, "Just believe. Just believe that it could have been a miracle." That's what God calls us to do. Just believe. Jesus, if you are real, then make yourself known to me. And you will be born again. Jesus said, "Believe, Nicodemus." If you're already born again, like most of us here are, maybe all of us, then for us, God still wants us to get closer to Him. "Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, give me a desire to want to be closer to you. God, teach me what you want me to know." And life is a process of growing closer to God every day because He's just getting us ready for heaven, just like He got Eleanor ready. And boy, she was ready to go. He wants us all to be ready. He wants us all to be there. The Bible says it's the good and gracious will of God that all, everyone would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So, today, let's pray. And let's pray that God would give us a desire to want to know Him better, a desire to grow closer to Him, a desire to be filled even more fully with His Holy Spirit, that He would control our thoughts, our minds, and our emotions. You see, when that begins to happen, God begins to point out in our life things He wants to change. And then we begin to repent, and our lives begin to change, and we start to become the people, more of those people that God wants us to be, more like the person God wants us to be. But if you don't know Jesus today, all you got to say is, honestly say, "Jesus, I want to know you." And watch what He does next. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Oh Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. Thank you that you died on the cross to save us from our sins. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can be born again. Thank you that we are born again, born from above, born of your Spirit. Oh God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that if there be anyone here today, Jesus, give them a desire to want to know you. And Jesus, help us to come to know you. And Lord, for those of us that have been living our life for you for a long, long time, God, help us to continue to grow closer to you. Fill us with your Spirit and increase our faith. And I thank you for that. In your wonderful, precious name. Amen.